To this fall time with all this rain that we've been having. I think that kind of tells us that it's going to be a really beautiful fall foliage this year, so I'm looking forward to that. But more important than that, I'm so excited to be here in the house of the God today.
Amen.
I hope you are as well. We're honored to have the Davis family with us today, missionaries. He'll be coming up here in a little bit to present his work, and then his family's going to be singing to us. So it's going to be a great day in the house of the Lord, and I'm so thankful for each and every one of you being here today. I'm going to ask Brother Jim Beck, if you could, please, can you open us up in prayer?
Thank you.
unseen hand. An amazing thing this morning. If you would please stand with me one more time. Turn to page number 292. And hopefully this morning you'll let him have his way.
guys. You can be seated. Go over a couple announcements for the men. If you come on down, we'll take up the morning offering. But while they come down, we'll go over a few announcements. Ladies, got the Joy Fellowship is coming up this Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Be back here in the Fellowship Hall. Ladies, if you can come be a part of that, you're more encouraged to do that. And then Wednesday night, we do have a business meeting. And I'd like to have you guys come and be here for that business meeting. And yes, ma'am. All right. I forgot about that. It's the shopping. You ladies are going to go shopping on Tuesday. Fellowship in between the aisles at Kirkland's and Hobby Lobby. Be meeting there at 6 o'clock at Kirkland's. So, ladies, if you would like to be a part of that, meet them there. And then this be October the 9th. This coming Friday, the Senior Saints will be going to the Billy Graham Museum. So, if you'd like to be a part of that, please be here at 10 o'clock. We'll head into that. And then also the 10th will be the Saturday. The teenagers are going to be able to go and do their youth night of elegance. Everybody's going to be dressing up. They even got a Hummer limousine, stretch limousine. They're going to be driving, going to Greensboro, right? And going to be eating, having a good time. So just pray for them. Have a good time there, good fellowship. And then we have our church-wide soul winning be on Saturday. And then we got the evangelist David East will be with us here on Sunday. So we got a lot going on up this coming next week. So pray for the pastor as he comes back, Lord, give him safety on the roads. And when he gets here, we'll just continue on, moving on for the honor and glory of God. But also, this Friday night will be the last night we have RU here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. And we're opening up to all the church. If you would like to come and be a part of that, be some testimonies, some singing, some time there. We want anybody that wants to be a part of it to come and be here. And if you are coming, please let Brother Doug or myself know, so we can prepare for that. We always have a meal for everyone that comes. And if you're going to be coming, we'd like to have some extra food for that to be able to fellowship afterwards. It's always good, are you? We have some good preaching, some good fellowship, and then we break the bread afterwards for everybody heads home. But if you would like to be a part of that, please let us know. But you're all welcome. Brother Doug, can you please pray for the offerings?
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here today. We're praying to be an every part of the service. We'll be with this offering and use it for your honor and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Lisa. That was beautiful. Well, we're honored to have the Davis family with us here. They're church planters to Utah, and they stopped in here today with us. So I want to have you to come on up, and if you would like to present your work, give you a couple minutes on that, and then your family that will come up and minister to us in song. Thank you for being here, sir.
Thank you, preacher. Amen. Amen. It's a joy to be with you. See a lot of familiar faces. See some faces we know, a lot we don't know. My name is Brother Alan Davis. It's my family back here. Y'all go ahead and stand up. This is my wife, Miss Angie. Four of our five children. Our oldest daughter, Jessica, is married. She's moved on now. She married a young preacher out of Yadkinville, North Carolina, serving the Lord faithfully in their church there. But our two boys, Justin and Jordan, our two baby girls, Jenny and Julia, my wife, Miss Angie, of course. We're the Davis family. The Lord's called our family to the state of Utah, in particular the Salt Lake City area. We have already started one church, planted one church in the state of California, in Northern California, there in Chester, California. And the Lord closed the door for our family there last year. If you, I know you've heard about the big campfire they had there and, obviously November, December 2018. God used that fire. That fire was 30 minutes from our house. God used that fire to close the door for our family there in the state of California. 12,000 homes were lost in that fire. Our landlord decided it's a good time to sell the one that we're living in. And so that put us in the same market as 12,000 other families trying to find a place to live. God did not give us another place to live in the time frame we had. Not only that, we lost our building. We lost our meeting place during that same time frame. Matter of fact, the very next day after the landlord called me and told me that he was selling our house, the very next day we lost our meeting place for a church. We were renting a community building. The county took that away. So God closed that door. Help us pray for Chester, California, the people there, that God would send somebody else to reap a harvest where we've sown. Amen? That door is closed for our family. God's given us new direction there in Salt Lake City, Utah. We're excited about what God's got there. If you understand anything about Salt Lake City, Utah, you understand it's the world headquarters for the Mormon Church. How many of you know anything about Mormonism? Maybe a little bit. If you understand anything about Mormonism, you understand, first of all, on the outside, man, it looks good. On the outside, it looks appealing to the flesh. On the outside, man, you see a big smile on their faces while they're riding the bicycles and walking down the street with their backpacks and their name tags. Man, on the outside, it looks really good. But deep down inside, behind that smile is a life that's miserable. Behind that smile and behind that appealing flesh, it's a soul that's going to spend eternity in hell. See, Mormonism is nothing more than a cult. It's a works-based religion. They even teach, they even teach in the book of 2 Nephi that for by grace it is saved after all we can do. See, it's a works-based religion. They teach and preach false doctrines. Like exaltation to God. That means that you and I can become a God one day. I liken it to as being worse than Hinduism. If you understand anything about Hinduism, the Hindus believe that there are about 242 million gods. Well, the Mormons believe everybody can become a god. There's more than 242 million people on earth right now. Not only that, hey, listen. You may or may not even have known this. I didn't know it until I started studying it out. Mormonism is a religion, it's a cult that was started by witches for witches. How many of you knew that? Absolutely it is. Joseph Smith and his dad were arrested and convicted on several different occasions for practicing witchcraft. His mother was a witch. As a matter of fact, if you study any of the Mormon writings, you'll never find that fact. However, they do not hide it. How many of you have ever been to Salt Lake City? You've been to the Mormon Church History Museum right outside of Temple Square. How many of you have ever been there? Inside the Mormon Church History Museum right outside of Temple Square, you can go in there and they've got a little short video that you can watch, and it tells how Joseph Smith received that first vision out in the woods that day. But right after you come out of that, it's got several little displays set up that talks about how he translated those golden tablets into what we have today as the Book of Mormon. And it talks about one of the things that he used in that translation process was something called a seer stone. How many of you knows what a seer stone is? It's used in the practice of witchcraft. Listen, it's a religion that was started by witches. For witches. However, let me say this. Most of the people that are involved in this have no idea what they're involved in. They're good people, everyday people. And I understand the Bible says there's none good. I understand that. But listen, they're people just like you and I. They've got a soul just like you and I. They're going to spend eternity somewhere just like you and I. Somebody's got to take on the truth. See, that's what God's called our family to do. Watch this here in Acts chapter number 26, verse number 18. This is what God's called our family to do as the Apostle Paul, as he was standing before King Agrippa, giving his testimony, giving his calling. This is the same thing God's called our family to do, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me or that is in Christ. Amen. See, the object of our faith is not our works. The object of our faith is not... It's not those things we do. It's not riding a bicycle and getting as much literature into folks' hands as we... Hey, the object of our faith is Christ.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Somebody's got to tell them that. Amen. We're going to a state where 62% of the state of Utah is Mormon. It's the only state in the Union where the majority of the population belongs to a single, and I use this word loosely here, church. But it's a cult. It's a false religion. They do not have the truth. God's called our family to take it to them.
Amen.
I'll leave you with this.
Somebody said, Brother Allen, is your ministry to the Mormons? I simply say this, no, it's not. God's called our family to Salt Lake City. Okay, God's called our family to Utah. It's predominantly Mormon. But our ministry is not to the Mormons. See, this is Jesus walking around on the fishing docks that day. He looked over at those disciples. He called the disciples. He said, follow me, and I'll do what? I'll make you fishers of men. See, that's what our ministry is to be fishers of men. How's that look? How many of us ever cast a net? Y'all, I know y'all like fishing. I'm from Tree Grove, North Carolina. I know you, man. We some fishing fools around here. You gather that net up and you go to catch it. As that thing spreads out and fans out across the water, it hits the water. That net has weight all the way around the edge. That thing hits the water, begins to sink. Whatever's in that net, what's it now? Whatever's in that net, when you pull that rope, what you catch, right? What it looks like in Utah. We're going to Utah to cast a net.
Amen.
Amen. We're going fishing for me. We're going to cast a net. Amen. And as that net fans out, we might catch a loser. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
We might catch a Catholic. We might catch a Baptist. But we are fishing in a Mormon pond. We are fishing in a Mormon pond. And I fully expect to get some Mormons.
Amen.
Y'all pray for our family. We've got some prayer cards. We'd love to put one in your hands. Please, please pray for us. But listen, we need your prayer. But more than praying for us, remember to pray for the folks that are in Utah. That God would soften their hearts, even before we get there. Amen. That God would soften their hearts. Mm-hmm. See, this thing's not about us. It's all about Him.
Amen.
Amen. See, we need your prayer. Don't get me wrong. We need your prayer. But listen, they're the ones that will spend eternity in hell. Listen, we need to pray for them.
Amen.
Please, please, get one of our prayer cards. Remember to pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, like to come on up. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was a blessing. Say amen. Amen. Woo! Can't stop smiling. It's amazing how the Lord works things out. We're good. Get this all situated. Brother Davis got up here and started giving his testimony and how he was talking about some things and how it lines up with what the Lord has for us today. And then these dear saints of God get up here and start singing and playing. Woo! God's good. So thankful for God's grace. So thankful for how good He's been to me. If you would, please turn to 1 Thessalonians this morning. That's Psalms, Proverbs, 1 Thessalonians. Some of you that might need some help. I needed some. Turn it down a little bit, Finn, if you don't mind. If you would, we're going to read the whole chapter of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. And if you would, for respect of God's Word, we want to read this, kind of just get our minds in line with what the Lord has for us this morning. Start reading in verse number 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Wherefore, we could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we are comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again to you for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sake before our God? Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and your Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. If I can get your attention to go back to verse number 8, this is where we're going to be drawing our message from this morning. And it says here, while I can encourage you guys this morning, stand fast in the faith of the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord, for how good you are. Lord, I'm so thankful for how you lead and guide and how you, Lord, put things into order. And Lord, how you confirm things as well with your saints. Lord, I'm thankful for that this morning, how you've done that. Lord, the preparation has been done. Lord, now it's your turn. Oh, holy God, I pray that you'll just meet with us this morning. And the things that we're lacking in, Lord, I pray that you'll shed light on them. And Lord, we'll yield those things to you, Lord, that you can have all of us, Lord, your honor and your glory be present in our lives. And Lord, in Salisbury, North Carolina, Lord, even in Utah, Lord, I pray today, Lord, to get the help that we need. And we're going to trust you in it. And Lord, I do pray that you'll bind Satan. Lord, he'll love to get in and get us all focused. Lord, what something's going to be taking place after church or something's going to be taking place this week. But Lord, I pray that our minds would be stayed upon Thee and Thee only this morning. And Lord, I pray that You'll just prevent that from happening of Satan getting in and trying to mess things up. And we're going to trust You in it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. 1 Thessalonians is a book that I've went to a lot, but during this study to get ready for this message, I came across some stuff that I didn't even know when I was talking to my wife about this. You know, Paul, as he's going through and he's wanting to go into Asia, remember he gets that vision where the Lord does not want him to go to Asia. He has that vision, that dream of where that man in Macedonia calls him and says, "Need to come over here." Well, here it is. Paul, he leaves Asia and he heads over. And this is the first time, I believe, is the first time he's headed into Gentile area. And he's going over and he comes into Macedonia, which is now Bulgaria, if you kind of get your mind in that area, top of the Mediterranean Sea. But he's heading over there into it. And, of course, Paul is going through this area. Before he comes to Thessalonica, he goes through Philippi. And anybody knows anything about Philippi, what happens there? He cast out the spirit of that one woman. And because of that, those men that was making money off of her, they took them and charged them and they threw them in jail. So there in Philippi, Paul and Silas got beaten and thrown down there in the basement in the prison. And of course, you know the story of that. They sang praises to the Lord and the earthquake happened. They broke free. And because of that, the Philippian jailer got saved and many other people got saved. And then after he left there, he heads over to Thessalonica. The Lord leads him and guides him there. And when he goes into it, you read over there and you can kind of get the idea of what's going on in Acts chapter 17. You can go back and read about this section in time is going on in Acts. Well, he gets into Thessalonica and as his custom, he went into the temple and he spent 3 weeks there talking with them. And during that time, he started stirring up things there. And there was a family, some people there. Jason, I was thinking about it. Jason, there was a man that had them in there. His name was Jason. And because of the stirring up of people, they came to Jason's house and took them before the people of the city. And they said, "These people here are turning the world upside down." And started accusing them of all this type of stuff. And Paul had to flee Thessalonica. Get this, he was only there 3 weeks. Got run out of Thessalonica, and here he is writing back to Thessalonica. He's telling Timothy, "Hey, you need to go back. I want you to check on the state of these people there." So he's sending them back to find out, and when I was reading this chapter here, be honest with you, if you go back and you read that, I was thinking of our church. There's nothing really negative said about the church of Thessalonica. You go and you read, there was when he had to write the second Thessalonians, they kind of started getting mixed up with the second coming. They was stopping everything that they was doing and just was waiting on the Lord to come. And Paul writes the second letter to him and says, "Hey, you need to be active in what the Lord has got you to do. Don't go to work, be active, go around." So that's kind of in the big picture why he tried to write back to on second Thessalonians. But when I was reading this, I was thinking of our church and I was like, man, church is doing good. Please understand, I'm not saying that we're all right. We're a bunch of sinners congregated together in a church, but the Lord's blessing our church. We have people coming to our church where there's an outreach here, and the Lord is really blessing. And I just want to just encourage you guys still today, just like Paul was encouraging that church in Thessalonica, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. It means this right here, a firm, fixed, and settle a position. Stand fast in Him. Have that firm, fixed, settled position in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to look at a couple of things that we need to be stand fast in. First, we need to stand fast in. We need to stand fast in our faith. If we are to stand fast in the faith, don't you think that we first need to have the object of our faith? What our brother was just talking about a little bit ago. We simply just don't need to have faith in faith. Doesn't make sense. Our faith needs to have a focus. I know we don't do too much of crops around here anymore, but the people that would go out there and they'd get in their tractor, they had to plow straight lines in that field. And even people that mow, you won't get those perfect lines in your yard. You get out there with that lawnmower, you just don't go and you're looking all over the neighborhood, pushing that lawnmower across the yard. You don't do that. No, you have a firm, fixed position, just like those farmers did, to get the most out of that property that they had, to get the most crop out of it. They had that firm, fixed position when they was plowing those roads down it. And that's what we as Christians need to have, that firm, fixed position. And that firm, fixed position is in here in Hebrews 12, 2, and it says, looking unto Jesus. It's my life verse. It's something I always go back to when I start getting in wavering, looking at different things. The Holy Ghost just throws that scripture back to me. Hey, keep looking to Jesus. And we need to keep looking to Jesus. Our focus, our main focus, like our dear brother just said, our focus is Jesus Christ. That's where our faith needs to lie. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. To walk by faith is to live in a confident expectations of things that are to come. You need to keep looking to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is He that hath called you, who also will do it. Just for me, I am so scared to be standing up here and preaching. Don't think for a moment when this missionary came in the back door, I'm going to turn it over to him. It happened. It went through my mind. It happens on Sunday mornings when I go to Sunday school. I'm scared to do this. Went and talked to my dear brother. Encouraged me in the Lord. Faithful is He that hath called me, who also will do it. Don't look at the messenger this morning. I want you to keep looking unto Jesus this morning. Keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our object of faith. Keep your focus on Him. There are two things that we need here on this earth that we won't need in heaven. Two things. Anybody know what that is? Anybody want to take a stab? Faith. Hope. Once we get to heaven, it's going to be complete, praise the Lord. Because our object will be there. And we're going to see Him as He is. We're going to be with Him. We're going to be like Him because we're going to see Him as He is. Our faith needs to stand fast in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which have great recompense of reward. Keep looking unto Jesus. He is our help. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quick you like men, and be strong. First thing we need to be doing is standing fast in our faith. There's a lot of other faiths, like brother said, out there. I never knew the origins of that. Witchcraft? And we want to put that in the lines of Christianity? We need to be searching these things out and knowing where we stand. Don't let our faith waver. Our focus needs to be on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Second, we are to stand fast in Christian liberty. Stand fast in Christian liberty. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ, for all that He's done for us, He died on that cross, paid for our sins, He's given us that liberty. We need to stand fast in that liberty He has given to us. We were in spiritual bondage, were we not? Adam and Eve. Many years ago, they put because of that temptation, because of that fall that took place, we have to deal with sin day in and day out. We were in spiritual bondage. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ took care of that. Romans 6:23, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God, we have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting. Now being made free. Jesus Christ paid that sin debt. And was able to make us free from that. Galatians 2:16. I'm going to be giving a lot of scripture today. I don't want to be preaching. I want the scripture to be preaching. If I go through these things pretty quick, just write the thing down and go back in your own time. And like I was telling our Sunday school class, I'm going to give you the skeleton. Go home and put the meat on it. Be a help to you. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, but by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then Titus 3:5-8, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou confirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We as believers need to stand fast in the Christian liberty that God has made us. We do not have to return to sin. It's a choice that we make. We're not bound by sin anymore. Jesus Christ broke those chains of sin. Now a lot of people turn back to it because the life of sin is easier. I'm going to say that again. The life of sin is easier. Don't think for a moment trying to live for God is going to be easy. And I'm not saying that to scare you from it. But the closer you draw to God, the more attack you're going to get from Satan. Talk about reformers unanimous. New levels become more devils. Right? Did I say that right, brother? Higher levels become more devils. More devils come when you try to live for the Lord is pretty much what I'm trying to say this morning. But we need to stand fast in our Christian liberty. Christ hath made us free, and we need to continue on in it. There's people that fell back into that bondage willfully. And we need, as a church, need to be praying for them. A lot of these things don't just come by just by saying, I pray for you. Fasting and praying needs to be taking place. Can I be honest with you, church? It's taking place in this church here. There are people that are in bondage because they choose to be. And we need to be praying for them that they'll understand that. That there's liberty in Christ and they can take that and be a help to them. Thirdly, we are to stand fast in gospel teaching. We need to stand fast in gospel teaching. 1 Corinthians 9:16-17 says this, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of gospel is committed unto me. We need to stand fast in gospel teaching. What Christ has given to us, we need to be given to the people that we come in contact with. Who in here, I don't have to raise your hand, but for me, when the Holy Spirit moves me, when I'm at a gas station to witness to some people, I don't do it. This message is for me this morning, church. Talk with my wife about it. I praise the Lord for the song that they sang this morning. I need to have my faith in the Lord. I need to stand fast in the Lord. I need to stand fast also in gospel teaching because many times I back down from it. They don't want to know. They don't want to know that. They don't have no time for this right here. But the Holy Spirit is pushing. The Holy Spirit is pushing us, and we need to do that. I worked for SunTrust Bank. I took care of all their stuff for many years. And every time I would go down to the Kannapolis branch, if you go down there on Highway 29, you're going through Kannapolis, heading toward Concord. There's a big square building down there, and it's the SunTrust Bank. I would go there and do work. And it was time and time again that I would go there, and I'd be doing some work. And this man would come out. And he'd come out this one time, and I just thought he wanted to talk to some older gentleman. He came up and he started telling me about a heart attack he had up when they had the Cannon Mills up there in Kannapolis. When that was big, he started having a heart attack, and the man gave him aspirin to keep him alive. And long story short, the man ended up having a new heart put in to him. And because of that, there was something that happened. And he has a testimony now. He said, the Lord, he said, I got a new heart. At that time, he said it was a 14-year-old that he had, and he was like 45 years old, had a 14-year-old heart. He said, but the Lord has given me a new heart. The Lord has saved me. And he goes around, and I still have today, and he's handed these things to me. And that was his ministry, going around telling people what the Lord has done for him. And he used these things as teaching the gospel to other people. It has a cross, and it has these little marbles, these red marbles. He's talking about the blood of Christ covers all sins and how Christ paid for all of our sins on the cross. And he was telling me all about it. Hey, this man was standing fast in the gospel teaching. It affected me. I don't know if he had a short-term memory loss, but every time I go there, he came and witnessed to me. Because I guess I needed it. But the man was standing fast in his gospel teaching. When we go to heaven, we'll be able to see the people we influence. You see up here, we got this. He that winneth souls is wise. We just had our missions conference. He that winneth souls is wise. I did a little study on this, and I thought he that winneth souls would be in the New Testament. I think this would be somewhere in the lines of the Romans Road, but it's not. It's Solomon. Solomon wrote this. It says that he that winneth souls is wise. So I studied that out, and that's talking about he that influences people for the glory of God is wise. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to be going out. We need to influence people in the workplace, the people in our neighborhood, the people at the shopping center, the people at the grocery store, the people across from the pump. Me? Need to influence those people for the glory of God. If He gives it to us, that leading, we should do it. We've heard it in the missions conference, right? The light's already there. The light's already there. God has already put the light in the person. What do we need to do? Direct that person to the power source. And how we do that? By influencing them for the glory of God. We need to be that help to them. For that gentleman at the bank, it was a lifestyle. Being a witness for God is not a time frame. It's not something that we just do on Sunday morning. It's not something that we do on Saturday morning. It's not something that we do on Thursdays or whatever the time is set up for a church to go out and sow in. No, it's a lifestyle. And that man that hit me up four times down there at that bank, it was a lifestyle for him. How many other people did he run in contact with? Great example of a man of how we need to be standing fast in the gospel teaching. And we too need to allow God to develop a lifestyle in us of giving the gospel. What is the gospel? Good news. Who does not need good news right now? We have it. And we can go and we can give it to people. We need to stand fast in that. We need to stand fast. The next one, stand fast in our Christian fellowship. Philippians 1:27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We, as people of God, as a church of God, need to stand fast in our Christian fellowship. I believe we're doing a great job here, be honest with you. When preaching gets done, it's amazing what you guys do. You're still sitting there. Nobody gets up. Nobody's darting out the back door. You're sitting around. It's like, Pastor, they want an encore. Get back up there. Hammer it again. Yeah. But I believe our church is good at this. I'm not trying to just... I want to brag on you guys for a little bit. I'm glad I'm a part of this church. Amen. People that come in these back doors, the testimony is this is a friendly church. This is a Spirit-filled church. Praise the Lord for that. But don't let us get comfortable with this. We need to do what we can. Strive to have more fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. This is what's necessary for building up our church. It's what helped me. Brother Jeff and Miss Angie. Al and Melinda. Some 21 years ago, when we stepped in this back door, Kelly, what happened? Fellowship. Invited us over to their house. Invited us out to eat. I'm so ever grateful for you guys allowing us to be a part of your life and being a part of this church. It was them that God used to be a help, and others that were here that's gone now in different churches serving the Lord. But it was them, the fellowship, the right hand of fellowship when we came in the back door. And who am I to hold that back when we have other people to come in? We need to have Christian fellowship. We need to stand fast in Christian fellowship. Acts 2:42. Says this, and they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowshipping and breaking of bread and prayer. And they continue daily with one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved. We need to stand fast in our Christian fellowship, letting everybody know in this church how much you love them, how much you care for them. And spending time to listen to them. Help us. Lord, help us not just to sit there. Like, all right. Brother Doug hammered on this on Wednesday night. We don't need to be saying, I pray for you. Go on our way. Oh. Why don't we take time to really get to know people's heart? Going house to house, breaking bread in the church. Letting people how much we know. We need to stand fast, continue on in our Christian fellowship. Y'all guys know this verse, Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to stand fast in our Christian fellowship. There's signs that you see in people's life when you know they're not walking with the Lord. talking with Brother Doug about this, and he's seen it as well. It's kind of evident in people's life. When people start pulling away from fellowship, there's something off. There's something going on. And we as believers, servants of God, need to be sensitive to that. What's going on with this brother? What's going on with the sister? And go and seek and try to do what we can to help them. To let them know, hey, there's fellowship that we need to stand fast in to help each other. Help each other in this world that we're in. 1 John 1 says this, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. But if ye walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." When we were able to walk in the light like he is in the light, we can do that encouragement, have that fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ like we should. They're the ones that's not walking in the light. So that's why we need to go and be that encouragement and be that help to them. But as a church, as we need to continue on, we need to stand fast in our Christian fellowship. Number 5, and we're almost done here. Let me go back. I missed something here. If God thought it was important to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the church and gave himself for it, should we not make it important as well? I do not believe we put importance on the church and the fellowship of the church. I understand there's people that have ailments. I understand that people have things that they go through, and you cannot be here every service. But just like Hebrews 10:25 says this, "Forsaking not assembly yourself, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We need to make sure that our fellowship is staying up. Our faithfulness is staying up. Number 5, moving on. I'm almost done here. Get you guys out of here. We are to stand fast in our progress as a Christian. This is something that I believe is lacking greatly. Stand fast in our progress as a Christian. Colossians 2, 6-7 says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." A writer wrote this, "Receiving Christ is believing in him. Faith is the eye of the soul that sees the beauty, glory, and fullness of Christ. The foot that goes to him, and the hand that takes hold on him, and the arm that receives and embraces him, so that this is not a receiving him into the head by notion, but into the heart by faith, and not in part only, but in whole. Faith receives a whole Christ, his person as God and man, him in all his office as prophet, priest, and king. So walk ye in him, not only in imitation of him as he walked, in the exercise of grace as love. So walk ye in him, not only in imitation of him as he walked," and go back, "in the exercise of grace as love, patience, humility, and meekness, and in discharge of duty, but by faith in him, going on in the way of believing in him, always looking to him, leaning on him, and deriving grace and strength from him. To walk in Christ is to walk in and after the Spirit of Christ, under his influence, by his direction, and through his assistance, and to walk in the doctrine of Christ, abiding in it and increasing in the knowledge in it." Walking in the Lord speaks of a progression that is being made in us. This is why Peter encourages us in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." There needs to be a progression in our walk with the Lord. Jonathan and Ashley would think something was desperately wrong with Cyrus was still an infant. If he was not growing, something would be wrong. They would go to the doctor and they'll try to figure things out. If Abishai, our son, if he was not growing, and if he was still the same way he was 2 years ago, something would be wrong. Need to be finding out what that is. There's something going on with their growing. And please understand, I'm about to use a term, and I'm not trying to use it in an ugly way, but this is reference to something that is a medical condition, and it's called retardation. It's talking about a slowness in development or progress. Just like my children, if they were not growing and like Cyrus was not growing, we need to take them to the doctor. We need to find out, hey, there's a retardation that's going on. There is a slowness in the development or progress of that baby. I believe that's the same thing for the church. There is a slowness of developing Christians in the strength of the Lord. Please don't take this the wrong way. I'm not standing up here trying to be ugly and talking about this condition. But there's a retardation in our churches today. There is no growing. They're allowing this right here to be part of their food. They're allowing Sunday school to be part of their food that they're taking. But there's nothing that's taking place outside this church that's helping them to grow. They're leaving it all in the pastors and the teachers' hands trying to teach them. That's not the way it needs to be. We need to be progressing in our walk with the Lord. That needs to be growing in the Lord. We don't need to be just leaning on our pastor to give us everything we need. No. There's going to have to come a time in life that Cyrus is going to have to eat on his own. I wish we can go back with Hudson and we need to help him eat because Hudson and Gabe, those guys are tearing up our pantry. But there comes a time in life that they're going to start eating on their own. And we need to be helping them with that. So there needs to be a growth in this. We need to be careful of this slowness of development in our churches. So we need to stand fast in our progression as Christians. And we need to do what we can to be a disciple, to be a help to these young ones that's coming in, to be a help to new converts. That was exactly what the RU was, a discipleship course which pointed people to Christ to get them in the fundamentals, the basic learning how to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. And that's what's so important. That's how we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, by spending time with Him and in His Word, but also in prayer. So we need to stand fast in our progression as Christians. Number 6, we are to stand fast in our Christian warfare. Ephesians 6 says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having your breastplate of righteousness." We are in a spiritual warfare. We are. I hope you understand that. There's an unseen battle going on that we don't really pay attention to. We are allowed little windows through the Scripture as we go and we read. We see in 2 Kings 6, Elisha prayed for his servant, his eyes to be opened up. And once his eyes opened up, what did he see? A host. Chariots all round about them. In Jude, we see the same thing. Michael, the archangel, what is he doing? He's fighting. He is fighting and contending for the body of Moses. We think, why is he doing that? Well, just a little side note. The Jews take anything and they worship it. If they got a hold of Moses' bones, you better believe it that they continue on being worshiping Moses and not the God of Moses. Because why they still worship? They worship the brazen serpent. They picked that up and they was worshiping it. Gideon and all that he did. And after they beat all that and they came back, he took earrings and stuff from his men and made a shield and made this I'm trying to think of what that was, but made like a shield and stood up for the Lord, what they'd done for what he did for Israel, what the Lord did through him for Israel. Get that out. And you know what they started doing? They started worshiping it as well. They started getting their eyes off of that and they started worshiping idols. But that was why it was so important that Michael the archangel was contending over the most. So we see a little picture of spiritual warfare that's in the Bible. The Christian life is more than a parade. It's not a parade. See, some men that was spent time in the military, was basic training and all that training that you guys went through, was it for the ceremonies for kicking off football? It wasn't. I thought that's what that was for. Was it for the parades, where everybody can see your nice medals? No, it wasn't for that. No, all that training taking place for battle. There's a spiritual warfare going on and there's training taking place right now for you guys. There's training that takes place back there in your Sunday school classes. The hours alone with God in preparing is for battle. 2 Timothy 3:4 says that Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier. Servants of God are to keep moving. Keep moving. Do anybody in here understand? We talked about it in our Sunday school class. But nobody in our Sunday school class answered this. Why is the American flag on our U.S. soldiers backwards? Come on. Somebody knows. Always advancing. You're in my Sunday school class. You weren't supposed to say that. Ever advancing. That's why it looks backwards on there. Always pressing forward. And that's what we need to do as Christians. We need to be pressing forward. We are in a spiritual battle. You are in training right now. Something that's going on, something that the Lord leads on your heart, you need to give that over to Him. You're in training. You have your help in your lap. You have it. You go through all the armor of God. You've got all this defensive armor. You've got the Word of God in your lap. Did anybody know how to use it? Jesus Christ knew how to use it. Well, Satan came to Him and tempted Him in the wilderness. He constantly used it. He threw it back at Him. And that's the same thing that we need to do. We need to be strong. We need to stand fast in our Christian warfare. Psalm 78:9 says this, the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Get that? They prepared. They got ready. They was going to battle, and yet they still turned back. Get that? Being armed. They had swords. They had bows. Not only swords, they had bows. And yet they turned back. Yes. Like I talked about earlier. Living for the Lord and doing what He has for us to do, it is hard. It is a spiritual battle. But we don't need to be like the children of Ephraim. When things start getting hard, we don't need to turn back. We have help. We are on the winning side. Amen. Ephesians 6:17 says this, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Lastly, we're moving on. This is the last one here that we'll say. We are to stand fast in our victorious living. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says this, for now ye live if ye stand fast in the Lord. God never wants us to live a defeated life. Not at all. He didn't create us to live a defeated life. 1 Peter 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is a key in this verse that we need to have so we can stand fast in our victorious living. And it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Here it is, by the renewing of your mind. My wife, as we go through times, she wants to go through the house and clean things up. We call it spring cleaning, fall cleaning, whatever it is. If we do that in our homes and in our houses, don't you think we need to do that in our lives? The psalmist, David, the king, says, search me, O God. Try me and know my thoughts. If there is anything found wicked in me, lead me into everlasting. We need to do the same thing. We say, Lord, search me. Find, if there's anything in my life, help me to turn that over to you so that I can have that victorious life that you would have me to have. Then lastly, here we are, we're done. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Remember, I was talking with Brother Jim yesterday. There's going to be a day we'll be able to come in. And if we're still standing fast in the Lord, there's going to be a one day that we're going to be coming for Him. And He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. These are some things that we can lay out, some things that we can stand fast in. So that when we get there, we'll be able to have those crowns that He gives to us. Not for us to pat ourselves on the back, but that we can throw them back to Him and praise His name. I think there's going to be a day we're going to be up there. Brother Miller and Josh are going to be over there by that crystal sea, wetting the hook. And I'm going to come toting up all happy and stuff, and I'm going to have my crown kind of, you know, like a sailor kind of tilted to the side, strutting down that, kicking up some gold dust, and Brother Miller's going to be over there wetting that hook. And I'm going to be sitting there beside this little tackle box. There's going to be a couple crowns sitting there, about 10 to 15 or so. It's like, man, my crown, it's not enough. Not only that, here's going to become Miss Leslie. You guys don't know her. She's going to be pushing this cart, coming along a little slow down the road. I was like, Miss Leslie, what are you doing? You need some help with that? Nah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm on my fifth load, heading to the Lord. Got a couple crowns I want to cast at His feet. Church, if anything you get from this, there's going to be trials. There's going to be troubles. Things are going to happen. Don't get your eyes off of Him. Keep looking to Jesus. Stand fast in the Lord. Because there's going to be a day that all these worries and trials are going to be over. We'll get to see Him. Hope this be a help to you guys today. Keep looking to Jesus. Stand fast in the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we come to You now.